the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience beyond.
Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right. This is his first test.
Then one iron club crow sends the first guard through.
Try my new electro sun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
I don't know what happened there. Anyway, good afternoon, people. Welcome to another episode of What Are You Reading comic book show. Before we get started, of course I have some sad news to report and some bad news. The sad news is that, friend to the show and friend to this network at Rant EM Radio, Tank, passed away this week. And, Tank has called into our show, quite a few times and talked comic books with us. And, he had started his own YouTube page, Tank's Toy Box, and he was friends with a lot of people on his network, and he'll be missed. His services going on today and tomorrow, and so his full name was Tommy Meehan. If you didn't know him, you could stop by his Facebook page and leave a message, and you can also look for Kickstarter might be something else that, to help raise funds for his funeral arrangement. So, Tank, you'll be missed. I know you're in a big old toy box having fun right now, and rest in peace, my friend. The sad news, there's no way of putting this, and without a co-host. There's come a point between me and Jordan that there's an issue that we can't agree on, and therefore at the moment Jordan's not part of this show. That's not saying that that's forever or it can't change, but I don't know what the future holds. I hope I'm going to miss Jordan because he brought a lot to the show. I admit that, he did help me a lot in the show. It wasn't like it was me doing everything. And, we kind of had something going for the past few years. And, it's just a sticking point. We just can't work out. So, and I hope Jordan does well. And, maybe things have changed. And for now, looking for a new co-host. And so if you're interested and you're listening, drop me a line on Facebook. It's under Jimmy Harvey, even though that's not my real name. But because of Facebook, it can't put Surfer as a name. So I had to make up a name that they wouldn't bother me or take away my account. And definitely be happy to hear from you. And so, let's start with the show. Let's give you a couple box office numbers, because that's usually what I start with. Oh, I'm sorry. If you want to join the show, you want to call in, if you have Skype, you can Skype me at the Silver Surfer _ forever. And if you're listening, you can listen live at Rant Yam Radio. You also can hear us on Podbean for the archive. You can listen to us live on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And, of course, you can hear us on iTunes. If you want to rate this show or any other show on the network, you can. If we appreciate it, give us, you know, if you like what you hear, give us a high score, please. It's not much to talk about as far as box office is concerned. A new movie came out this week, Storks, animated feature. Brought in $21 million on a $70 million budget. There's been a lot of animated features this year, and it's starting to show in the box office, because usually animated features come strong and correct. Who's calling me? And I haven't had a chance to see it yet. And the other movie in the top 10, Kubo and the Two Strings, brought in another $1.1 million. Its total after 6 weeks is $45 million. It is a $60 million budget. It's kind of sad that stop motion movies don't do as well, because it's a dying art, only because they don't make the money it needs to make. And it's not really cost effective to do a stop motion film, especially with CG animation out there. Oh, there's one more movie, Suicide Squad, just won't go away. Brought in another $3.1 million. It's up to $318 million. It's almost near Batman v Superman as far as the domestic box office. So, Batman vs. Superman made over $300 million. It's considered a bust. Yet Suicide Squad made over $300 million. It is a hit. Because there was more expected out of Batman v Superman as opposed to Suicide Squad. And its worldwide total is $731 million. So, it's going to get a part two to Suicide Squad, if nothing else. It, of course, I don't think it did as well as Deadpool, but nobody was expecting Deadpool to do as well as that did. That was a unforeseen hit. And, yeah, I just got a call from friend to the network, Rage, and I don't know why he would call me on my cell phone. Here we call now. Let's see what he wants. Hello, Rage.
Can me have a please?
What'd you say?
Can me and you talk, please?
I can't hear you.
Can me and you have a talk?
We could, but you decide to do it at the wrong time.
Why?
Because I'm doing a show right now.
So what the fuck is the number to the show?
What, you just called me on Skype. You got to call me on Skype. You just did it.
Oh, my fucking God. Am I on the air or not?
Yes, you're on the air and you're embarrassing yourself.
I'm embarrassing myself. Okay, right, okay. So like I said, can we have a talk right now?
No,
we're doing this on the air because it needs to be done.
All right, yeah, that was Rage. He just, you know, kids today don't understand what's going on. So, Rage, if you want to have a talk, we'll discuss this at another time.
Why are you being so salty right now?
No, listen. You want to have it out. You want to hold off to next week? Please? Because I want to be prepared. And you want to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Prepared for what? I'm already prepared.
Okay, well, I'm doing a show.
Where's your co-host?
I just explained I don't have a co-host.
Why?
Because there's a sticking point we can't agree on.
What sticking point is that?
All right, people. Where are we? We're about some news. He just don't get it. He can keep calling. I'm not going to take his call anyway. So let's get to the news. Now, see that, I have to admit that without joining, I don't know what I'm doing, but I still have to move on. I want to talk about TV shows, because some came on this week. Ray just throwing me off too, people. First up, Gotham. See, I got the Gotham thing.
Put some respect on my name.
Oh, no. This ain't working right. Anyway, so Gotham came on this week, season 3, episode 1, and it kind of picks up from where it left off, where Jim Gordon decided to go get Lee Thompson back now that his legal problems are done, and he walks up to her home. He is giggling, looks through the window, and like all movies and TV shows, he's heartbroken to see that she moved on. She got a new man. She ain't thinking about Jim Gordon. So now it jumps 6 months later, and the freaks from Hugo Strange's lab, they're running amok in Gotham. And Gordon, instead of being a cop, has decided to be a bounty hunter so he can make money bringing in these people. And during a bank robbery, he runs into Killer Croc. Now, they didn't state he was Killer Croc, but when you look at the way this creature looked, it was obvious they was trying to say he was Killer Croc. And he got his ass whipped and only came out on top because Killer Croc got hit by a bus. So the commissioner, police commissioner, he's back. He got injured last season. And he's trying to talk about these villains running through Gotham. And the Penguin walks up and says, "The person behind all this is Fish Mooney. You need to bring her in." And of course, nobody wants to listen because the Penguin, because they know he's a criminal. So Gordon talks to Bullock, and you know he's trying to convince Gordon to come back to being a police officer. And Gordon's like, "No, I can work better this way because I'm not constrained by the law." Barbara Keene and Tabby, who was the sister to the main villain from last season, they've started a club, and people are trying to muscle in on them because they're women, but they don't realize these are crazy women, and they just think it's a game that somebody comes in and say, "Yeah, you owe us money, or you got to pay us for protection." And they just laugh at them because they figure they can handle themselves. Even the Penguin tries to tell them, "Look, if you don't pay me protection, who knows who could come in here and hurt you?" And somebody does come in and tries to muscle them, and they quickly kick their ass. Fish Mooney, who of course is back in Gotham, and she has these abilities because of Hugo Strange, has these freaks breaking into medical facilities because she's trying to find some medication. And it turns out these powers that allow her to manipulate people is also killing her. So she wants a cure and a fix. She likes having this power, but of course she doesn't want to die. And she's even told, if you don't use your powers, you won't have a problem. Gordon is trying to hunt down Fish Mooney, and he's coming close, but because he's just an ordinary person, every time he does get close, something goes wrong, and he's left at square one. Bruce Wayne goes and sees his board and tells them, "Yeah, I know y'all been dirty and y'all been behind Hugo Strange, but that shit changes now," which causes the Quarter of Owls, who's supposed to be running everything from Secret, to step up and say, "We need to take care of Bruce Wayne." And they send an agent to his home. He gets into a fight with Alfred. Alfred gets his ass kicked, and then they take Bruce Wayne. And of course, he's going to meet the Quarter Owls next week, which is tomorrow. Good and bad about the show. I thought there was some. It's like in most of the show. I think there's good things about it, and I think there's bad things about it. What I find bad is this whole thing with Jim Gordon. They corrupted him last season. Now he's not even a cop. This is not what I signed up for. Bringing in people like Killer Croc, like that's Batman struggles to bring him down. So why would the police be able to bring him down? And if he can run unimpeded for all these years before Batman shows up, what's the point? Penguin, you know, he's good. They've even made the Riddler interesting character. Catwoman, well, they haven't fully made her into anything other than she's just a girl on the street who allegiance changes depending on who's in charge, because she's trying to survive. But the interesting thing that happened was Poison Ivy, who's at this moment is a child, follows Catwoman and runs across Fitz Mooney and her gang, and she tries to say, look, I'm going to tell the cops on y'all. So Fitz Mooney orders to have her killed. She tries to escape. Now, one of Fitz Mooney's henchmen has the ability to aid you real quick, and she gets her hands on Poison Ivy before Poison Ivy ends up escaping. So what's going to happen now, because we talked about it weeks ago, Poison Ivy's going to be an adult. So obviously, whatever happened, it just aids her up a bit. And so what's good? I think some of the structure to Gotham is good if they would just clean up everything. Now this scene is supposed to be Bruce Wayne making that journey into becoming Batman. Really don't see it yet. Now there's a strange kid running around that looks like he's an older version of Bruce Wayne, but he doesn't seem to have any memories, and he doesn't know who he is, and he does see Bruce Wayne, and he wants to know who Bruce Wayne is. Now, I don't know. Maybe they're going to try to say he's like a twin or something, or an older brother. Who knows? But that's Gotham. Next up came on new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, this season, Coulson's no longer the director. There is a new director. We haven't met him yet, but him and Mac has been out for several months now trying to find Daisy, who went on the run after the whole thing with Agent Ward and her being corrupted and then feeling bad about it. So she's trying to help people on the streets. But because of the Sokovia Accords in Winter Soldier, she needs to work under the government's hand. So that's one of the reasons why they're hunting for her. Plus, Coulson don't want anything to happen to her because he's, you know, her friend, and he cares about her. But while Daisy's out in the street, she runs across the new Ghost Rider, Robbie Reyes. And this Ghost Rider's not playing around. He's killing people. And because Daisy's on the scene at the same place, now they think Daisy's killing people. So now they're a shoot to kill with Daisy. Daisy runs into Ghost Rider later, and they have a little battle. But she may be out. She's definitely out of her league trying to take on a spirit of vengeance. Now the effects to the Ghost Rider is pretty good, but it's not great. It may get better as the season go on, but you know, his car turns into flame. Now the effect on him looks good, and of course Coulson and Mac, you know, they're determined to bring in Daisy, but they was taken off because they kind of think that they're letting Daisy get away. It's just that Daisy's, you know, even before she became Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., she knew how to hide herself and go on a run. So this is now that she got powers, it's just easier for her. And that's the reason why they haven't been able to catch her. So this new director took her off and took them off. So when May tells them, yeah, you know, they think Daisy killed some people, I won't tell them until tomorrow. So they try to give him another chance to bring her in, and of course they don't. And the show also introduced life model decoys for the first time. Now, I don't know how much of a role they're going to play in the season, but we have seen the first life model decoys. And so, those are the new shows that came on this week. And there'll be more shows coming in the near future. In a couple of weeks, it'll be Flash and Arrow and Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow coming back on. And a few other shows. Talk about some news. Y'all like news? Because I like news. Yeah, I like news. Well, I'm going to go with the sad news, get that out of the way. Bill Nunn, known as Radio Raheem, but the reason why I bring it up because he played Robbie Robinson in the first three Spider-Man films, had passed away at the age of 62. I've seen Bill Nunn in more movies than, of course, the Spider-Man roles, but because he was in Spider-Man, this is the reason why we bring it up. It's set here. 2016 has been rough on us, on celebrities, you know. Like I said, it's been like a celebrity a day passing away. Supergirl adds Brenda Strong in a recurring role. That name seems familiar. I'm not sure what she's in. It says Supergirl has a case of Desperate Housewife. Alumni Brenda Strong in the current role for the upcoming second season. According to Entertainment Weekly, she makes quite the first impression in the season premiere, which is described as a fun mix of comedy and action, along with a pretty surprising exchange between Kara and James. I never really watched Desperate Housewives, so. Now, I don't know how much you're into fashion. Let me check the chat room. Rage acting like a fool in the chat room. Okay. Now, for all you people with style and fashion, I got just a thing for you. Star Wars suits. There's two suits you can buy. There's a Stormtrooper set, and then there's the Star Wars with the different icons of Yoda and C-3PO and Luke and all your favorite Star Wars characters. That's a jacket and pants. They go for about $110. I don't know if you would want to wear any kind of suit like that. What I see, I could wear the jacket by itself and I could wear the pants by itself, but I don't think I could wear as a whole suit. And if you are interested in buying some Star Wars suits, of course we do have the link in the What Are You Reading comic book page on Facebook with all the other links to the different news stories. So if you're not subscribed to it, please do. It would appreciate it. Arrow's 100 episode will feature Katie Cassidy. Now, Katie Cassidy's character, Black Canary, was killed off last season. And a lot of people didn't like that. And one of the rumors going around that she was removed from the show because she was complaining about the fact that she wasn't the lead female like she was promised. And, you know, as being Black Canary, she was naturally supposed to be the lead female and the love interest to Green Arrow. But Felicity Smoke became a lot more popular. And that's because they were using her more. And so they made her into the love interest. And Black Canary kind of fell to the wayside. And so after complaining, they supposedly killed her off for that reason. But then we did talk about how she signed a new contract to appear on all the CW shows. And one of them will be the 100th episode of Green Arrow, which I don't know if a lot of people thought it would make 100 episodes, but it's definitely has. So we'll look forward to that and all the other shows when they come on the CW. The Spider-Man Homecoming has wrapped production in Atlanta. You know, this is a much anticipated film because this is Marvel doing Spider-Man the way everybody thinks he should be done, even though there are casting news that people aren't too happy about, like who's playing Mary Jane and who's playing Flash Thompson, because they decided to add a little diversity to the cast. And a lot of people don't like that, and we kind of know why. Luke Cage. Can't wait for that to come on in a few days. We got about, what's today's date? Is today's the 23rd or 25th? My eyesight is getting bad. Yeah, 25th. So this Friday, you know, Luke Cage will be streaming on Netflix all episodes. What I want to let you know is Ali Shaheed Muhammad and Adrian Young curtailing Luke Cage's live show with a 40-piece orchestra. With just a week to go until Luke Cage is finally unleashed on Netflix, the frenzy is in full force. But as we've been participating in the Bulletproof Harlem Heavyweight, the show source and soundtrack just anxiously await, this is a largely a symphony of Ali Shaheed Muhammad and Adrian Young being at the helm. But what if we told you that for one night only, Young Muhammad would score could come to life right before your eyes? October 6th, to be exactly, a week after the show, September 3rd premiere, Miguel Atwood Ferguson will conduct a 40-piece orchestra and performance of the show score at the Theater of Ace Hotel in L.A. Well, I'm not in L.A., so I won't be able to see it. Maybe they'll broadcast it somewhere. But if you're in the L.A. area, you can try to go see that. Are you Simpson fans out there? FXX, which I don't know why that station even exists, is going to be running a 13-day marathon, which will include 600 episodes of The Simpsons. Now, I guess they figured you'll sit there and watch all 600 episodes that you haven't been watching the whole time. The way I see it, I stopped watching The Simpsons in season 7. So, it's not like I'm going to sit there and watch anything else because I don't care about The Simpsons anymore. It's only because it's, you know, there's no change on that show. It's always the same. They're always the same age. Nobody grows up. And once the focus went from the kids to Homer, that's when the show lost it for me. It may not have lost it for you, and I understand that. But if you're a big fan of Simpsons, you can relive some of these old episodes because they're going to show them all. For all you Doctor Who fans out there, they've talked about doing a spinoff show, and now it's about to debut. Class, which is a Doctor Who spinoff, will debut on October 22nd. It's been confirmed that today that Class, the new Doctor Who spinoff, will debut on BBC 3 Saturdays. Oh, BBC 3 Saturday, October 22nd. With more, it's been confirmed that Peter Capaldi will make an appearance as the Doctor on the show premiere episode. For Tonight We Might Die, The Night will also debut the show's second episode, Coach Within the Dragon's Tattoo. If they was going to do a Doctor Who spinoff, why haven't they done Vastra and her gang? That's the spinoff I've been waiting for. I mean, Vastra and Strax and Jenny, those are the characters I really wanted to see in a spinoff show. They're capable of doing mystery and investigating on their own. And they're supposed to have a spin-off movie that supposedly was filmed, but it never really came out. So, I don't know what to tell you people. I'll look forward to it, and I'll tell you what I think when it comes out, because that's what we do. We watch the shows and we give you our opinions. It's looking at the picture, doesn't look like a special cast, but, you know, we'll see. some of these spinoff shows don't work without the Doctor themselves being in there, but I don't know why this particular spinoff would tie into Doctor Who. Pacific Rim. I don't know how many people liked the movie or didn't like it, but there's some news. Pacific Rim adds two Aftermath stars, Levy Meaden. On the heels of Jintan casting, which were also this week, the cast of Pacific Rim 2 continues to grow. According to Variety, Levi Meaden will play an irrelevant and offbeat cadet in the sequel to Guillermo del Toro's classic film. Meaden will eventually star in the sci-fi Aftermath, joins John Boyega and Kaylee Spaley, Scott Eastwood, and more in the Warner Brothers future sci-fi adventure. Now, Boyega, of course, from Star Wars and Attack the Block, he's supposed to play Idris Elba's son, Stack of Pentecost. Now, we didn't know he had a son. He never mentioned him. I don't know why he wouldn't tell me. And question is, are you looking forward to a Pacific Rim 2? Did you like the first movie? I kind of liked the first movie. I wouldn't say it was the greatest film, but I enjoy watching it. It comes on TV all the damn time, so. It does run thin at some point. All you Power Ranger fans, Alpha 5 have been casted by the voice of Bill Hader. Bill Hader, of course, is an alumni of Saturday Night Live, and he will voice Alpha 5. So, I don't know if that encourages you or makes you turned off to this Power Ranger movie. I'm kind of looking forward to it, but I need to see some kind of trailer. I'm not a big Power Rangers fan, because not that I hate the franchise, it just didn't, you know, I didn't grow up with it like a lot of people did. I know some people, you know, they live for Power Rangers, and it's not my era, so I've seen a couple of seasons, but it never stuck to me like that. And maybe this movie will. And, you know, America doesn't always do a great translation from Japanese properties. But we'll see. This will be the third Hollywood film for the Power Rangers. You know, the first two came out, and I know one was a hit because, the Power Rangers were on top at that moment. The second one, I don't know how that did. Probably didn't do that well. Okay. I get a new call. Hold on. Caller, who are you?
Dr. Doom. What's going on, sir?
Hey, what's going on, Dr. Doom? How are you?
I'm all right.
Am I embarrassing myself on the air?
No. I was just reading about what's going on fantasy in the chat. It's pretty funny. You got called out.
By Rage?
No, Matt Squires.
Oh, in fantasy football.
My Doombot's beating them up.
Let me step away from comic books for a second, people. You know, people don't complain about the fantasy football when they win. It's only when they lose and they want to call me out. So, I told the score is the same as last year. If the quarterback throws for a yard, he gets a point. If he scores a touchdown, he gets six. So, maybe, you know, one quarterback throws some more yards, then he'll get a lot of points.
Oh, yeah. Just funny.
Yeah.
Did you talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet?
Yeah. What did you think about it?
I like the adding of the Ghost Rider and a different one, so we'll get the Nicolas Cage think off the character.
Yeah, this is the current Ghost Rider they're pushing in the comics. Is Robbie Reyes, who drives a car instead of a bike.
Muscle car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's killing people, which...
Yeah.
I'm surprised they would do that on a TV show. I mean, they haven't shown
but
it.
But they stayed...
Huh?
Let's say he stayed true to the character, because the character is different from what the regular Ghost Rider in the comics, because... I guess he's possessed by an evil spirit instead of Zathros.
No, see, that's the thing. None of the Ghost Riders, they're not evil. Like that was a myth that the Ghost Riders are evil. They're not evil.
Yeah. They're like angels or something.
Yeah, and, you know, like the original one was tricked by Mephisto and thinking he was possessed. You're right. Not that he was bad, but he was possessed. But Mephisto had nothing to do with the... With the Ghost Rider. Now, they've described the things he's done, said he pulled out spines and everything, but they haven't shown that.
Yeah, they just show blood.
Yeah.
And I want to be the first to say that I think they should have never killed Trip on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they should have killed Mac. That's been my biggest gripe.
Yeah, I was kind of upset when they killed Trip, but why kill Mac?
He's angry. Like, he's the Green Lantern of the S.H.I.E.L.D. Just the angry black dude. At least with Trip, he had a little bit more charisma, and he was a likable character.
Why couldn't they have two black dudes on there? Why did they? They did a Walking Dead on us.
Well, I know. Every time the Walking Dead has a new black guy, I start getting worried, you know. But like I said, I'd rather had Trip than Mac, because to me Mac is just boring.
I wouldn't argue with him. I think Mac's okay, but yeah, if you think he's boring, I understand. I mean, he could be doing a lot more on that show than complaining about how things are wrong.
Yeah,
you know, he should be a
Trip would have made things right. You know what I'm saying? Mac is just like, and I still don't understand how the fact that nobody knows that Coulson's alive, you know.
Well, they haven't told the general public, so. Because bringing somebody back to life, I mean, who would believe that?
They've seen all types of other crazy stuff. Aliens,
Yeah. It's to say there's an alien out there, I mean, that's more believable. And... Yeah. Then you can bring somebody back to life.
Well, but if you be technical, Captain America coming back is kind of him coming back to life. Because, you know,
he was never dead. Everybody
but everybody thought he was dead.
Yeah, thinking he's dead and actually being dead. I mean, like, Coulson was dead. Like, no life.
Yeah.
And they brought him back. They used that Kree technology. Yeah. And I don't think it's... It's kind of funny that they haven't told the Avengers he's still alive.
Yeah.
But,
you know, Fury would at least told Tony Stark, but, you know.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that. Have you read anything lately?
Nah, I've been just working.
Okay. Now, did you know about the fan petition?
No, what's the fan petition?
There's a fan petition for Shia LaBeouf to play the Red Hood in a DC movie.
They need to take several seats, like Tony C says. I don't want Shia LaBeouf touch no more franchises.
Well, he when he's in a franchise, he don't ruin them. I mean, I don't think he's not the star that like Spielberg, you know, thought he was, but.
Because, you know, he blew up because, hey, everybody was going to see Transformers, not because of Shia LaBeouf, was because of the robots. And he rode the coattails, I believe.
If you've listened to me on the show, I've been saying for years now, Transformers is dummy-proof. That's the reason why they make so much money. I mean, it's not the director. He, you know...
It's the franchise.
Right. You put Optimus Prime, and people are going to show up.
Yeah, they want to see the robots from nostalgia from childhood.
You know, my whole thing is, I want to see a Transformer movie where it's not about the humans running around.
It's more about the robots.
Yeah, I mean
interacting.
Go ahead.
I said, yeah, the robots interacting with Earth, but they won't, you know, they killed one of the Autobots that would have been good was Jazz. You know, they killed the Black Transformer, first thing in the first franchise, but they brought Megatron back twice or something. And Optimus Prime, but they can't bring back Jazz. You know.
Yeah. I mean, of course, when Jazz shows up, you're like, what's up, little bitches? And I'm like, oh, shit, this is some Michael Bay bullshit.
Yeah, he could have been like more like Scatman Crothers. I love that Jazz from the cartoon series.
Well, Scatman, he's not alive anymore. But
I know.
So, you know who the Red Hood is, right? He was Jason Todd.
But he doesn't have the physical stature to look like Jason Todd. He got bigger.
I don't know what people think, you know. This was new to me about this. People wanting.
He's just trying to get another film role because I mean, I can understand if he played a young Jason Todd, but when Jason Todd became Hush, then became Red Hood, he was around the size of Batman, physically stature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not Shia LaBeouf and Ben Affleck. He just looked like his little brother.
Mm-hmm. It's just Albert. He's the star of the Dark Tower movies, right?
Yeah, I can't wait, and they're doing the TV series.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. They're doing the TV series, and he's going to be part of the TV series. Like, the fourth book in the Dark Tower series will be translated to television. Go ahead, what did you say?
That's I like that. I like him as an actor, so the more of him on TV, you know, it's a win-win.
Hmm. So they were saying, like, that was part of the plan to make some movies and then also do a television series. And the reason why it took a while to get off the ground because they couldn't get somebody who was committed to doing both the movies and the TV shows. And then Idris Elba is, so they're going to do the TV series. And
that's good.
Yeah,
he's a great actor.
Yeah, he should be James Bond.
Yeah, I think he'll do a better job than Daniel Craig. I don't know. It's just Daniel Craig took that role to an action role, and it's just like he's not really acting. He's just there in a lot of the movies.
I don't know if he'll do a better job, but I just would love to see him.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought, you know, I remember James Bond back in the 60s. I liked the Sean Connery and the Roger Moore because it was like a smoothness to it.
Well, I grew up on the Roger Moore, and then I saw the Sean Connery.
I watched both.
I've never really been a big fan of James Bond. You know, I've seen him. You know, I've seen most of them. So, real quick, the Dark Tower TV show will come out in 2017.
Is it coming on AMC?
Wait, I'm sorry. My bad.
The movie.
The movie is coming out in 2017.
Okay.
And then the TV show will follow. Come out following it, so that's 2018.
You know which network?
It doesn't say which network.
I'm praying for AMC because I think they take better property, you know, comic properties, or maybe like a Showtime or HBO, so it could be gritty.
Yeah, I mean, AMC or HBO would work.
Maybe Stars.
Who watches Stars?
I guess people who watch was that one with 50 Cent? I don't watch it.
Power.
Yeah.
I've not seen Power. I don't know if that's really worth seeing or not.
Yeah.
Now, you a big fan of Rob Liefeld?
Not ever since he drew Captain America.
With big tits?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cap still hasn't gotten over that. Well, you know, hey, he gave you Deadpool.
Yeah.
So, Rob Liefeld released a Youngblood movie script online. He's been trying to capitalize on his his Wildstorm characters. Yeah. So the script for Youngblood is out, and there's a PDF you can download and read the script. I don't know if that's going to make it get to the theaters anytime soon or not. It's funny how when he was at Marvel, the man was golden. The problem is when he went to Image, he had nobody editing him. And then you quickly noticed that he was doing the same
characters
from what he drew in my like that. Nothing looked the same. Like you look at the cover to
Youngblood. Wildcats and X-Men.
Oh no, that's Jim Lee, Wildcat.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You look at the cover to Youngblood, and you know a lot of them look like the images from New Warriors and X-Force.
Yeah.
And he just started getting worse and worse, and it was at one time he was celebrity. They was bringing to cons and limousines and stuff, and he had a booth all to himself. Now he's just in Artist Alley, a regular guy, and it's sad to see him there. I mean, people come
up. Did he do Savage Dragon?
No, that was Eric Larson.
I remember that Image run. I still got some comics of the Max. That was like my favorite comic series back then.
I read Max. I read a long run of Savage Dragon.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what's going on in that book now.
Yeah, like Spawn.
Spawn, I never got past the first issue.
Yeah.
And Wildcats, that was the Jim Lee one, right?
Yeah.
I read a few issues, and when those guys, when they didn't have editors, it quickly showed.
Yeah, they need that, you know, oversight.
Yeah, they do. They really do. And now Image's like the big place to go if you write well. It's called Image, but it should. Excuse me. They should change their name because it's all about the storytelling.
Yeah,
it's definitely not about the look. Mm-hmm. So IDW and DC to honor victims of Orlando shooting with an All-Star anthology. That was a tragic event, and it says ID Publishing and DC Comics have joined forces to honor the victims of the Orlando shootings, as reported Tuesday by the New York Times. The Punisher have teamed up for Love is Love, a 140-page anthology comic book featuring an all-star lineup of comics creators, with proceeds going to the LGBT. If Trump was telling, saying he would call them the LGBQ. Civil Rights Group Equality Florida. As specified by DC in a tweet, the book will be published by ICW with the support of DC Entertainment. And, of course, one of the iconic gay...
They have Alan Scott?
No, they got the current Batgirl.
Okay. I'm surprised they didn't have Alan Scott since they made him gay.
The project was engineered by... No, okay. Love is Love is scheduled. I don't see who's going to be in it, but... I guess they'll have, you know, whatever characters there are, gay or lesbian... And at this point, it's not a big deal that these characters are gay and lesbian comics. Not like it used to be in the 90s when they first started to.
I think it's more of a gimmick now. So like that, it's like with Marvel. Either they're gonna switch something with change the guy's like ethnic background and give you a new character like the Hulk, or like Alan Scott when they made him gay when they did New 52, just to try to get people to read instead of making them a whole new character that's gay. You know what I mean? Like a North Star, he was always gay.
Well, no, in the beginning he wasn't always gay. That just came out later. Like they say, yeah, he's gay. Yeah. Okay, and it was a big deal. And then of course he got married. He's like the only person still married. All the straight marriages in Marvel has been broken up. Other than Jessica Jones,
Ain't Jessica Jones and Luke Cage still together?
Yeah, but I give him another 3 months.
Oh, come on now. You can't hit him with a Brangelina.
I mean, Luke's running around with Iron Fist. At some point, Jessica's going to be like, look, I can't take it no more.
Well, they got Squirrel Girl watching the baby. They be all right.
No, Squirrel Girl, she's going to be running around with the Great Lakes Avengers, and she running around with the new Avengers. So she ain't going to have time to be changing no dirty-ass diapers.
We going to have Big Bertha back since they're going to bring the Great Lakes.
Yeah, all the original Great Lake Avengers are coming back. And it's coming out next month in October. But speaking of Jessica Jones, you know, her season 2 will be coming up soon. And it says Jessica Jones' trauma will be a huge part of the character in season 2. Jessica Jones may have taken down Kilgrave, but that doesn't mean David Tennant's mind control trolling villain won't loom over her while the show returns to season 2. People just don't heal. You just don't go through that and say, he got arrested. He's in jail. I'm okay now. Jessica Jones showrunner Melissa Rosenberg told Esquire, that trauma is a huge part of who she is now. That means Christian Ritter's... What do you think of Christian Ritter as Jessica Jones? You like her?
Yeah, I liked her. I liked that whole series.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
The character will still be a crass, hard-drinking private guest investigator despite her tormentor's death.
I just hope, you know, just to keep it along the comics, at the end of the season, she winds up pregnant. You know, Luke Cage come back and be a baby daddy.
I don't think they're going to knock up anytime soon.
Why not? That'll be a good story arc.
Maybe. I got some bad news for you, Doc.
What?
We talked about last week about DuckTales and... Duckwing Duck,
yeah,
not being the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're not in the same universe.
Yeah, according to they everybody figured they was all one universe, but supposedly they're not in the same universe.
How? When Launchpad McQuack was in both shows?
Yes, they do admit that Launchpad McQuack was in both shows, but they still are saying now that they're two separate universes.
That's retarded. Whoever said that. We got appearance in both shows, or is it just like how Baloo was in Tailspin, but he was in damn Jungle Book? You ever seen that episode of Robot Chicken? When they explained that?
Probably, but I don't remember it.
Baloo was like a secret agent, mm-hmm. and they put him in the Jungle Book to erase his mind, and then he found out and he went on a killing spree, like mm-hmm. Jason Bourne.
Now, Can you loan me some money?
Just who, me?
Friend to friend, yeah. It's important that you loan me some money because one, I want to buy a piece of artwork. Alex Ross has a image of Batman fighting Boba Fett, and the art could break the internet according to this article.
Well, let me go and check my my dictatorship funds, and maybe I'll knock off a couple countries and see if we can.
I would like to own some original Alex Ross art. If you want to buy this, it's going to be exhibited. Alex Ross will regularly exhibit his painting, and his works will be making an appearance at New York Comic Con, which is coming up October 6th to the 9th.
He can't make lithographs or something to sell it that way, or is it going to be something like that Wu-Tang album that Once Upon a Time?
There's probably some prints, but you know,
yeah.
It's never like owning the
original
piece. But what I really need the money for is the home that Harry Potter grew up and was abused by is being sold. And I really need a new house, so.
Oh, you want to move all the way to England? Nah, I can't make that happen.
You know, the Muggles is putting Harry Potter's childhood home up for sale. That's going to go for an awful lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know it was just a regular home they was using, but makes sense.
If somebody was a collector making to a museum, buy it that way, and then making it so Harry Potter, you know, come there and visit.
Well, that's why you should loan me the money. That's a good idea. And we could be partners.
I don't know about that.
Let me ask you, you got a lot of books in your collection?
I got digital books.
Oh, so you're a young buck, man. You're not a real collector.
I had the original run, paperback of Dark Knight Returns. I mean, I have some stuff, but it's been moving all around the world. It's kind of hard for me to keep collections and stuff.
We're not talking about graphic novels. We're talking about floppies. They're known as, you know, single issues. Because if you if you're a real collector, of course, you have to keep them in boxes. So Marvel announced a line of hero-themed boxes. So when you go to the store and pick up your boxes, they'll be decorated. Like, the image they have on here is from the new book, The Champions, coming out next month.
Okay.
And you can also get... what other boxes is it coming out with? No, he's talking about The Champion so far.
True. So it would be like the box to have whoever character theme.
The Champions is going to have... You know about The Champions, right?
Is that the one where it's going to be... give me a second. It's like the Miles Morales. Is that going to be that team where I'm thinking... Okay. And they're going to be on a run because I guess he's supposed to be wanted.
No, they're not on the run. They just just don't want to deal with these older heroes because they're let down. So it's going to be the young Cyclops, the Amadeus Cho-Hawk, and Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, Sam Alexander, Nova, and Viz Vision. And they're already saying that'll change at some point.
So it's supposed to be basically like the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon cast, kind of, you know, the young heroes on the team.
Maybe. Sam Alexander's the only one on the...
And Miles Morales?
Yeah.
I'm talking about just the teen characters.
Yeah.
They're all in one book. Kind of like Young Avengers.
Now... You know, Marvel hasn't been able to use the Champion name in such a long time. They kind of couldn't use it, and now, for whatever reason, they got the rights back.
Yeah. And, I think it was because of Champions the game, right?
I don't know. I don't know the full story on that.
Yeah. But I'm kind of tired of the big books, like with them potentially might in the future kill Steve Rogers again. I'm getting so tired of...
Why? What? Where did you hear that from?
Well, what was it? The pages or whatever? Like, the guy had the vision that Miles Morales kills Captain America.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about it real quick? Civil War number 5 came out. And I haven't been reading it, but I keep up with it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And so this is the big battle between Iron Man's forces and Ms. Marvel forces. Mm-hmm. And... You know, and so friends fighting friends like the last Civil War.
Yeah.
And I kind of see Tony Stark's view on this.
Yeah.
Because just because you get a vision of the future doesn't mean that's going to be the future set in stone.
Yeah.
And a lot of them don't realize that they're causing these futures to come true by trying to run to prevent it.
Yeah. It's dumb. Let it happen first if it's going to happen.
Well, the best way to go about it, okay, if you know Galactus is about to show up, prepare to take him on. But picking somebody up at their home because he's supposed to rob a bank later on that day, I got a problem with that.
Yeah, because they didn't do the crime. You punish them before they do the crime.
So and at the end of the book, everybody got a vision of Miles Morales standing over Steve Rogers' dead body.
Yeah.
And it looks like he killed Steve Rogers. I thought they was on the same side.
Yeah. It could have been something else. You know, he got hurt and he's trying to save him. Could be a lot of things.
And, of course, Ms. Marvel was like, you're under arrest. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So, I like Bendis as a writer, but he doesn't always have good endings to his, crossovers. And I get the feeling that the ending of this is not going to be satisfying.
I think they've done too many crossovers. Because it's like every year, it's a different crossover. And then everything is switched up. I think they need the Splinter for like a year. And, you know.
Well, you know they're about to have the IVX crossover.
Inhumans and X-Men?
Yeah.
I don't like that killing. I just hate that they deballed Cyclops.
Well, that's not even part of the crossover. That's going to be a book series that comes out before the crossover, the Death of X.
Yeah.
And that's going to cause the X-Men and the Inhumans to have a problem with each other that's going for them to go to war. And the funny thing is, 20 years ago, the X-Men...
It would have been. Would have wiped the floor with the Inhumans.
Yeah, everybody but Black Bolt. They're not fucking with Black Bolt. That's...
Well, you would have had Black Bolt fight Banshee.
No. Listen. What Banshee could do and what Black Bolt could do is two different levels. Yeah. Like, Banshee, he has that... He has his, scream. But Black Bolt can shatter cities with a word.
Yeah. And, that would have been a good fight, him and Magneto. Let me take that back.
Maybe Magneto could hang with him. Really, the only person that could take down Black Bolt is Phoenix.
Or Gladiator.
Gladiator's not an X-Men. And Gladiator can't... They fought. Gladiator ain't no match for Black Bolt.
If he have his confidence up.
No, he's no match for Black Bolt. See, Black Bolt, he's a very unusual character. Like,
yeah.
There's maybe two or three people that Black Bolt can't fuck with. But everybody else.
Thanos is one. I read that comic. He beat the brakes off.
You talking about from the Infinity storyline?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was disappointing the way he went down to Thanos.
Yeah, he got his ass whipped.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I think Hulk beat him in World War Hulk, right?
Yeah, but turns out that wasn't the real Black Bolt. That was a Skrull pretending to be Black Bolt.
Oh.
But I think World War Hulk would have kicked his ass too at that point. Because when World War Hulk showed up, nobody less than Thor... Silver Surfer or the Sentry was going to stop him.
Yeah, and he beat the Sentry's ass.
They fought to a standstill.
Yeah, but Bruce. Well, let me take it back. Bruce Banner knocked out. Whatever. Just...
IDW has a new editor in chief. IDW has promoted Dave Hedgecock. What kind of name is that? From managing editor to editor-in-chief of a company characterized as editorial group reconstruction. Chris Ryle, who served as editor-in-chief for more than a decade, will remain as chief creative officer, but in an expanded capability, focuses on developing new creative opportunities across the company's division.
I got to run. I'm going to start getting ready for this pay-per-view tonight.
Yeah.
See you in the chat room, man.
Well, I'll be hosting the pay-per-view at 7 o'clock, so if you want to call in, I'll be here.
Yeah, I'll call in.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, man.
No problem, man.
Talk to you later.
Peace.
See, people, it's not that hard. If you want to call in, just get on Skype and add me to your friend list, SilverSurfer_forever. And... you got to know your thing about comic books. If you're just calling in just to make fun of me, well, I have feelings, so that's not a good thing to do. And you want to have it out with me like Rage, well, we can have it out, but don't just try to blindside me. If you next week, It could be me and you. If you're still listening, Rage, you know, get in contact with me, and I will set aside some time next week, and we'll see what's what. And then afterwards, you know, we still got to be friends. Can't be unfriending me on Facebook, because that's not right. We don't have that many stories left. So, one of the new books that's supposed to come out starting last fall was a new Blade series where Blade had a daughter. But now it's been a year now since the new Marvel books have come out from the end of Civil War, and we never got that Blade book. And it sincerely reveals why he quit the Marvel Blade. Basically, he thought that him being a Caucasian male didn't justify him writing a story about a black woman. And he felt that someone else would be better at writing the series. And so he walked away from it. And there was supposed to have been a new writer, but I don't know what happened to that. And so now, a year later, we still haven't gotten the Blade and his new daughter, which would have been a Blade also. And maybe that's still in the works at some point. Don't know. I was looking forward to checking it out to see if it was worth picking up. I really wouldn't mind seeing a Blade TV series. I did like the one that came out years ago. I know that's not a popular opinion. And a lot of people didn't like that show because of the delayed actor and sticky fingers, because they looked at him as a rapper and not an actor. But I thought the structure of the show really worked. It was Blade and his sidekick, and they had a vampire on their side who he was supposed to help but didn't. She got bitten, turned into a vampire. So she was on the inside of the vampire coven, and they spent the season trying to bring it down. And of course, the next season they would have moved on to a new coven, but it never came back. Marvel just assigned an Avenger to every state for their newest variant covers. So Marvel is gearing up to launch a new series, U.S. Agent, which follows the super spy agency designed by the United States government to take over for the fallen SHIELD. But more trustworthy, hopeful. To celebrate the title launch, Marvel is releasing 50 variant covers, one for each state, with art by Rod Reels, and they assigned an Avengers to each one. Canada, Puerto Rico will also be getting a variant. Let the competition for your favorite Avengers begin with an exclusive look at 8 variant covers. Now, if you click on the link that I have linked this to, they got Captain America for Delaware, Sam Wilson Captain America for Maryland, Luke Cage is New York, Iron Man California, Black Widow Connecticut, Beast Illinois, Winter Soldier, Indiana. Spectrum is Louisiana. And so far, where's Pennsylvania? I want Pennsylvania. I don't know how many people buy variants. A lot of comic shops will charge more for them than they will their average cover price, because people do look for variants. I try to get as many variants as I can whenever. The rage in the chat room has nothing better to do but say crazy things. Alright, let's move on. Now, quick reminder, once the show's over, stick around the chat room, because we are doing a pre-show for the WWE pay-per-view Clash of Champions. It's live at 7 p.m. Now, I talked about Lost in Space last week. They've added some more cast members. Toby Stevens and Maxwell Jones Jenkins will join the Lost in Space remake for Netflix. Now, looking at the casting, of course, one will play Will Robinson because he's a kid, and the other, I'm assuming, will play the father. And there's only two lead males. There's the father and then the pilot. So if you only seen the Lost in Space movie and you thought that sucked, well, that's not really a good indication of what Lost in Space could be. If you could try to find the 60s TV show, I suggest you give it a look-see. You might like that better. And it's possible that Lost in Space is a concept that's just out of date and out of time, and just won't work today. There's a lot of shows that worked at one time, and they try to bring them back, and people today just ain't interested in it. They don't care. If somebody said, let's do a new Gilligan's Island, that shit will fail instantly. Gilligan's Island worked at one time. It's not going to work today. I have a hard time believing there's a island out there that has not been discovered by civilization. So, therefore, I couldn't believe that. And that was the premise of Gilligan's Island. You know, they was on an island that was never charted. So, even though almost every week somebody new ended up on an island and ended up getting off the island, but the crew of the SSS Minnow was always stuck on that island. Excuse me. Kind of coming down with a cold. What else is next? Sorry for the sound. As far as like no sound at all. DuckTale Revival has come up with a new logo. Are you really excited for DuckTales? Let me know. Because I never really got into DuckTales. I watched episodes when I could, but it wasn't something I had to watch. So the new DuckTale logo just looks like the DuckTale logo. I don't know of anything different. And I don't know what I'm supposed to be looking at that's supposed to excite me. So that's, I don't know. Oh, here's the news of the week, people. You know we have an election coming up soon. Now, I try to stay away from politics because I don't know what your politics are, and I don't want to get into arguments over who you should vote for or what party you should follow. That's up to you. But, you know, different candidates for president get endorsements. And now one candidate has gotten an endorsement from a superhero of a sort. The voice of Batman, Kevin Conroy, trashes Trump, backs Hillary. Now, I'm assuming this causes a lot of controversy with a lot of people because, a lot of people love Kevin Conroy, but they might not like the fact that he's backing one candidate over another. But I'm going to play what he said on Facebook, and then you decide whether he's right or wrong or he needs to shut the hell up, okay?
Hi. I have avoided making political statements on my websites because I always wanted all my fans to feel welcome, and I was afraid of alienating some people. But there is so much at stake with this election that I think we all have to make a stand. There's such a dark force that's been introduced to our political discourse that it's really becoming frightening what's going on. And we need two functioning political parties. We need the Democratic Party with its instinct for social responsibility, helping people when they're down, the Social Security safety net. And we need the fiscal conservatism of the Republican Party so that we don't spend ourselves into a ditch and become Greece. So we need the compassion of the Democrats and the fiscal responsibility of the Republicans. And we need those parties to balance each other out and debate things and fight it out. But right now there is no Republican Party. The Republican Party has been hijacked by a xenophobic, narcissistic clown who's only interested in himself. He's only interested in his own aggrandizement. Where has he been all these years? He's been just amassing fortunes by creating bankruptcies where everyone else gets screwed and he walks away with money. This is someone who's only interested in himself. He ridicules John McCain, an American hero, because he was a prisoner of war? Because he likes his heroes to not be prisoners of war? Really? This from a man who took multiple deferments to avoid serving in Vietnam? Got deferments for bone spurs? I don't think those bone spurs ever prevented him from playing sports in his private prep schools. And he ridicules the Khan family, who gave their only son to this country. They sacrificed their only son. And he ridicules these people. Who is he? And you would consider him as our president? It's just unthinkable. When he was playing in the fields of his prep schools, Hillary was slogging away in law school. Her first job when she came out of law school was working for the Children's Defense Fund, working for the legal rights of underprivileged children. She spent her whole life working for you and me. I know she's not perfect. She's a human being. None of us are perfect. If you're looking for perfection, forget about it. You're never going to get anyone as a president. But she's always had your back. Trump? It's just not a competition. So I'm asking you to please vote this fall. We all have to vote. And please use your heads when you go into the voting booth and vote for Hillary Clinton. Thank you.
There you have it. First superhero endorsement. I know if you agree or disagree. You know, I don't know how much it angers you. Like I said, I'm not here to tell you who to vote for, who not to vote for. Not on this, you know, not for this particular show. If you want to have a conversation off the air, we could do that one day. But I will say, if you live in the United States, register and go out and vote. Because whatever happens after November, you know, if you don't vote and you don't like the result, well, you can't say anything. If you vote and you do like the results, and you don't like the results, at least you have a reason not to like it. You know. Anyway. There's also Loki. He's running for president, too. So, there's a Loki series out where he's running for votes. I don't know who's reading that. I haven't had a chance to look at it. I don't know if I have any. Oh, Ghost in the Shell. Controversial movie because it's a Japanese animated anime. And, of course, Hollywood's doing the whitewashing by casting Scarlett Johansson. Well, this week they've released some teaser glimpses at the cyberpunk future. They put out, I believe, like either 5 or 6 10-second clips. And you can find them online. I do have a link to some of them on the comic book page and on Facebook if you want to look at them. I don't know who's excited about that movie coming out, whether you're going to support it, you're not going to support it for whatever reason, you're just a fan of Ghost in the Shell, so you want to see it, or you're not going to see it because of, you know, the casting of Scarlett Johansson, or you want to see it because Scarlett Johansson is hot. I don't know. If I can see it, I'll give you a review on it, you know. I've seen some Ghost in the Shell, but I've not been a big fan of it. I can't say I know everything about it. I've seen it. I think we are about done with the news. There was another TV show I did not talk about that came out this week, which was Lucifer. That came back on the air this week. And when we left Lucifer last season, he was ready to go back to hell. but he got a vision from his father that someone escaped from hell that he needs to find, and that person happens to be his mother. So when they come back, him and his brother is looking for their mother, who they really didn't explain why she was put in hell other than her and dad, which they, I guess he's supposed to be God, but he always refers to him as dad, had a falling out. And still, what she could have done so bad to have her thrown into hell is beyond me. So there's some murders going on in LA, and they think she's behind it, and she's possessed the body, and they're having a hard time tracking it down, but they are coming across these brutal murders. Lucifer is trying to convince his cop partner that he really is the devil, and she's just having a hard time believing it. And so Lucifer's brother tries to convince her, only he's doing a ruse. He's trying to convince her that Lucifer's been tricking him with, because she's seen him get shot and not really die. Excuse me. And he's trying to say, well, it's just fake blood in a bulletproof vest. Now, I don't know why they don't want her to know that Lucifer is the actual devil, and why she won't accept what she's seen all of last season. He keeps telling her, yes, I'm Satan, I'm the devil. And she won't believe it. And of course, she has some ability to make him weak. And I don't know if they're supposed to end up together or not. But, you know, he had a chance to have sex with her, and he passed it up because she's kind of different than everybody else. And at the end of the episode, Lucifer's mother came in, and she's injured. And Lucifer, turns out, he has a problem with his mother, too, because when dad kicked him out of heaven, she did nothing about it. So when she got kicked out, he's like, I don't give a fuck. I mean, she didn't give a fuck about me when I got kicked out, so why should I care when she got kicked out? Why should I give a damn about it? So he's harboring feelings about both his father and his mother. Yeah, tough world to live in when you got bad feelings about both parents. Really, really tough. Okay, what's going on Skype? Oh, come on, Stanley, I don't always have time to read what you write on Skype when I'm trying to do a show, especially now that at the moment I'm doing it by myself, so you got to cut me some slack. If his show doesn't seem like it's popping with just me, it is what it is, people. You know, but if you feel you can add something to the show and you would like to be a co-host, all you got to do is contact me on Facebook. Look for the name Jimmy Harvey. That is not my real name, but because of Facebook, I had to give them a actual name because they wouldn't let me use the name Surfer. So, and I didn't want my civilian Facebook account to be out there. That's for my private use. So I made up a name, and everybody makes fun of me. But if you know your stuff about comics and you want to contact me or what, and I'll tell you what's necessary to be on the show, and you know, if you have no problem with that, then be glad to have you. You know, we can talk. If you know somebody who might you know want to help me with this show, you know, send them my way, and I will talk to them and see how it works out. Image Surgeon X will launch with his own app. Surgeon X is a futuristic medical thriller debuting Wednesday from Image Comics. Arriving with an enhanced companion app feature, exclusive behind-the-scenes content, as well as the entire first issue in color and black and white. written by documentary filmmaker Sarah Kenny, who did Angels and Gods, and illustrated by John Walks. Surgeon X asks, what if we lived in a world of antibiotic resistance and rationing, where the superbug has won? Set in a dystopian 2038 London, the series follows the adventures of a brilliant renegade, Scott Ross, who becomes Surgeon X, a vigilante doctor who uses experimental surgery and black market drugs to treat patients. Surgeon X is colored by James Devlin, lettered by Jarrett K. Fletcher, and edited by Vertigo founder Karen Berger. How many people use their apps with their comics? I have the Marvel app, which if you know, if you put the image, if you scan the front page, you'll get a video message. And I forget to do that half the time. And I've done it a couple of times, but I'm just trying to read my books and get the day out the way. So now here's a story. I thought I talked about this earlier, but I guess I didn't. Sam Neill, if you know from Jurassic Park and Omen 3, is going to be in Thor Ragnarok. So he'll be teaming back up with Jeff Goldblum from the Jurassic World. But they haven't said what his character will be yet. And Marvel is keeping that under wraps. Sam Neill's a pretty good actor. But what he's playing, I couldn't tell you. I thought Thor Ragnarok was wrapping up. Apparently, I guess they filmed scenes with him and nobody knew about it. And now they're letting people know. I'm looking forward to Thor Ragnarok. That won't be out for another year. Not till November of next year. Of course, now we have Doctor Strange coming up in a couple of months. And hopefully, it'll be the best Thor yet. I have a troll in my chat room. And Rage, yes. We'll have it out on air next week. If that's what you desire. I will block off my first hour to having a conversation with you. Now, are you mad enough to show up next week? Let me know in the chat room. Because obviously you don't have a sense of humor when somebody's playing with you and it's bothering you, and so now you want to have it out on the air. And I told you weeks ago we could have it out on the air. So if you want to have it out, I'm a man. I have a big John, so I don't cower from people. Not the way you think I would. We'll see how that turns out next week, people. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell everyone. It's going to be messy next week. Unless you come correct, and then, I'll come correct. I don't see any more news to cover this week, people. Just going through. Talked about Mr. Robot already. Did the Ghost in the Shell. Did the Shia LaBeouf. Did Edge's Elba. Yeah, we're done with the news. I didn't think I would make it this far. Not by myself. I have to admit that. I figure, I would bitch out and get. Well, there's one more thing I didn't talk about. Oh, I did. The IDW has a new editor-in-chief. Okay, yeah, we did that. There's a top-secret Star Wars ongoing series launching in December at Marvel. I don't know what's supposed to be so special about that. It's always a Star Wars thing, and there's only so many characters you can write about. Here we go. Marco Tamaki launches a new Jennifer Walters Hawk series for Marvel. Now, I'm guessing this follows the heel up of Civil War II, which the She-Hulk was injured badly. And then, of course, when she wakes up, she finds out that her cousin, Bruce Banner, is dead and that Hawkeye killed him. She's probably not too happy about that. And so this book will probably reflect all the things that have happened to her recently, including the death of Bruce Banner. And yeah, you know, I don't think a lot of people are really taking hold to Civil War II. And oh God, no, you wasn't, late Rage. I see what you wrote in the chat room. You wasn't trying to conduct an interview. If you wanted to conduct the interview, why did you talk to me before it started on the air? But no, you were going to try to out me. See, I know the tricks that dumbasses play. So let's talk about the fine programming here on Rant EM Radio. You didn't know there was other shows on here, did you? You should be paying attention. You should be listening. Stick around and chat with your friends, because in a half hour there will be a pre-show for the WWE pay-per-view Clash of Champions. This is the SmackDown only pay-per-view, where all the belts on SmackDown will be up for grabs, plus a few extra matches. And this, of course, there will be a post-show at 11 p.m. or whenever the pay-per-view comes to an end. Sometimes the WWE goes over 11 o'clock. If it goes over 11 o'clock, you might have to wait till 11:30. I don't think they'll be too long. Hopefully, they'll end it at 11. And then Tuesday, of course, is the Rant with Double A and Tony C live at 8 p.m. Wednesday is Thumbstick Ninjas. That's live every other week. This week, I don't know. It may be a repeat. So if you didn't hear last week's, you can hear it this week. And if not, if it is live, hey, you got a treat. Thursdays at 9 p.m. is a Turnbuckle Throwback. Rant and Wrestling. Fridays is a new episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And then Saturday night at 11 is the Wrestling Call-In Show. And this show will be back live 5 p.m. What are you reading? You may get more than just comics next week, depending on who calls in and what they want to talk about. But if you hear this, you know, the purpose of this show is not for me to read news, but if you read comics and you want to talk about them, that's why I would take your call, so I can hear about the books you've read. So, you know, maybe more people will call in and start telling me about the books they've been reading as of late, and you get to the original purpose of this particular show. Like I said, if you want to be the co-host, let me know. And, you know, maybe something will happen where, you know, Jordan could come back as co-host. I don't know. Certainly didn't come to an end because of dislike for each other. And, you know, it's just a sticking point that neither one of us seemed to want to budge on. And, you know, it is what it is, people. And I know Jordan had a lot of fans, and I know he had some people that didn't like him, but he was still a unique voice. And, you know, I felt the show, I felt we had a good back and forth with each other. And I'm going to miss him. I wish he would just to see my point of view on things, but I understand where he's coming from, but I got to do a show a certain way, and, you know, this is the show I'm running. So now, of course, if you like Jordan, you know, you can reach him on Facebook. You can keep in contact with him. You know, he's a friendly guy, and if you make friends with him, he will talk to you. And he's also on Skype. You can Skype him. Look for him on Skype, and you can chat with him. All right, so I'm going to bring the show to an end. I thank everybody in the chat room for sticking around listening. And we'll be back in about 25 minutes for the WWE pre-show. And until then, I'm The Surfer, and thanks for listening. Peace.